Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Jordan, I told Adam on Friday that he needs to get a deer because he was all about, like, I just go up for the experience. It's being with the guys. It's being in the woods. I don't really care. And I said, Adam, for the sake of the show, and for the sake of me getting some venison jerky, I need you to get a deer. So he promised me he would try extra hard. Now, he's got two more weekends, and he hasn't gotten one yet. But don't you think that for the sake of us, he needs to get one?
I mean, yes, and I need to hear the stories.
Yes.
You know, when he comes home with the deer schmutz on his outfit, on his getup, and then Jen complains, and now it's in the washer and dryer.
Yes.
Like, I need the whole shebang. I need the people flipping him off. He said that people flip him off. Like, when somebody gets a deer, they get mad because I guess they don't like deer hunting, and they give him a finger. Like, I need to hear all the stories, all the whole shebang.
To be fair, though, he doesn't even process. I mean, a lot of people don't, but he just drops it off somewhere, and then they process it for him. Which I kind of I like the idea of him bringing it to his garage in Rosemount and like putting a tarp down and getting out the big knife and butchering himself. But
I guess, don't you have to like hang it outside? I've seen that like deer's hanging. Don't you have to hang it for a little while?
Yeah, which I think they would do that up at deer camp. But once to get the blood out of it. But once you bleed it, and then I think they quarter it, so you cut the basic members off the deer, and then you would bring that home and further butcher it. I mean, I'm saying a bunch of things I don't really know.
Like, what do I know? Right? What do we know? Right?
Come on, Adam. Pull out a knife. Do it yourself.
I agree. I agree. Adam, let's see it.
Jordana, there was a final in the Canadian Premier Soccer League over the weekend, which I would have normally not even paid any attention to at all.
Yeah, why would you?
The only reason I'm paying attention to it is that they played this game in a full-on blizzard, like inches and inches of snow on the field. I know you've seen a picture of this as well. Here's the situation for me. That is a definite skip. If I'm flipping through we flip through channels anymore, we don't. But if I'm flipping through channels when we used to, and I see a soccer game in the snow, I am stopping on that game to watch for a while just because of 100%. The novelty. Mm-hmm. Is that true? I mean, I know you're not as big into sports, but is that true for you? You're more likely to watch a game if there's a huge weather impact.
I absolutely think so because dudes are wearing shorts in this game.
Yes, and like tennis
because,
shoes.
You know,
and
it's soccer, right.
And there's like full-on blizzard.
I mean, I don't even know how they can see because I am looking at a picture of this. Like, I don't know how they can see, really. And I'm sure it's freezing. So, yes, I'm watching it for the shock factor.
Yes.
I don't know who these people are. I don't know who they're playing.
No.
I don't care at all about this game. But I am watching it for the shock factor for a few minutes because that is hilarious.
I watched one clip where a guy does like a bicycle kick, which is where you sort of swing your feet up over your head and then you land on your back. I'm like, kind of nice doing that when there's a foot of snow on the ground and a little more comfortable. But they literally had to like when they do a corner kick, they had to like shovel and clear off the corner to find where the corner was because the whole field is covered. It's crazy.
Like why at that point? I mean, don't you call the game? Like,
you play the game. Let's go. That's the fun of it.
Why?
You play. That's part of the game is the what's the weather going to be? I love it.
Silliness.
Fantastic.
Silliness.
We talked a little bit about travel earlier, and one travel writer from CNN is suggesting that some couples should get what she's calling an airport divorce In the story she tells, a couple, in this case, traveling overseas, here's the deal. They would arrive plenty early together to the airport, go through security, and then say goodbye to each other after security and basically see you on the plane because one of them wants to go to the lounge, get a cocktail, one of them wants to shop, or someone's going to read a book or whatever. And people have different ideas of what you want to do for that amount of time. I think you could carry it further and say, hey, like, I don't want to go to the airport at the same time as you. I don't want to be stressed. I don't want to wait in line with you. The airport can be a stressful place.
Very.
You've talked about, Jordana, your husband. Who
Jewish male travel disease.
Jewish male travel disease. Would you ever consider this, where you go, Mark, you want to do your thing and be early and stare incessantly at the update screen at the gate, and I don't want to do that, so we're getting an airport divorce.
You know what? I kind of love this. but when does it happen? Are you already through security? Like, well, I mean, I guess if you're on the same itinerary, you kind of have to check the bags together. You got to do the whole thing.
Yeah. That's what this was suggesting. I kind of like the full. So, like, we travel often right after my work day. So we'll have like a 3 p.m. flight. And
sure.
I kind of like the idea of I say goodbye to Katrina first thing in the morning and see you on the plane. So I'm, you know, maybe taking the bus into work, taking the train downtown, doing security, doing the whole thing on my own, and we'll just see you on the airplane. And then she's getting a ride or whatever she does. I kind of like it from the very beginning because that's not, like, valuable couple time. We're not, like, communing as we're standing in line together. It's just kind of annoying time. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, but I'm also hearing then that she has to schlep the kids and do all the kids stuff and you get to show up after work.
Yeah, I mean, the kids thing does put a wrinkle into it. However, and we have done this. We did it on our last trip where we divided and each took one kid. I went and got the car. She was in charge of the bags, and she took a kid. I took a kid. So,
yeah,
you know, a divorce with 50% custody. How about that?
I think that this is genius. I really like it. I will consider if Mark will accept this, you know, the 20-minute, I guess, separation, as it would be, or, you know, meet you on the plane kind of thing. I think this would be this would reduce a lot of people's stress because it's the other person's stress that they put on you at the airport that makes it so difficult. And travel is always stressful now more than ever. I think the caveat, though, is the small kids. When you have kids, if there's only two of them, you can divide and conquer. But I feel like there needs to, and I feel so bad for single parents that are traveling with multiple small children alone, even one alone. You need more hands to carry things, the car seats, and everything gets so heavy. And sometimes you get a runner, you know, a crazy toddler, and they go rogue, and they run into the Popeyes or where I was just I was just in Atlanta, so they have Popeyes. So, I kind of love it.
All right.
I kind of love it, David.
Yeah, let's try it. Let's try it on our next trip.
I kind of love it.
By the way, there's Popeyes in Minnesota, too. You just...
Oh, are there?
Yeah, haven't gone. Yeah, yeah. Oh, not at the airport, but...
Oh, all right.
Okay, moving on with quick takes here. Gubernatorial candidate Lisa Daymuth has picked Ryan Wilson as her running mate. She's the first candidate to select a running mate, Governor Walz, and the rest of the field have not selected yet, of course. Lieutenant Governor is running for higher office, so Peggy Flanagan will not be Walz's running mate. Jordana, you know, we're still early in the election. It's a year until this takes place, but how big of a deal do you think the Lieutenant Governor picks will be to this election next year?
Not consequential at all. Hmm. Not at all. I just don't think you think about the Lieutenant Governor's politics. They're often sometimes somebody who's not very known. You know, who could maybe balance a ticket, but I mean, they're not, usually they haven't risen to a very high level of political echelon before this. You know, Peggy Flanagan is moving on to run for Senator Tina Smith's seat. But before that, I wasn't sure who Peggy Flanagan was. I mean, now, of course, I know her and she's quite lovely. I don't think the lieutenant governor matters at all. I also don't think they really have a lot of job accountability. And I don't mean to be disrespectful in that, but I remember when Peggy came on with us, and she is a lovely person. I said, what do you do? She came on with us at the fair. And I said, no disrespect, but what does the lieutenant governor do? What's your job? And she said, honestly, She said there's a lot of traveling with the governor, a lot of waiting around. You know, of course, I'm sure she's involved and asked about policy and things like that, but you don't have lawmaking capabilities. That's still the state legislature. And you're not the governor. Maybe you help advise the governor. So I don't think the lieutenant governor is as pivotal a position to be worthy of changing a vote for governor or not a vote for governor. Do you think, am I wrong with that? Like, did you experience a lieutenant governor? Do you think about the lieutenant governor when you vote for governor?
No, I think it only matters if it's somebody with a high name recognition, right? If you,
right,
if you
exactly.
pick somebody and go, yes. oh, wow, them, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when it's somebody like this, I'm sure some people know who Ryan Wilson is. He's in the state legislature, I think. See, I'm proving that I barely know who he is.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, it's probably like, okay, good pick, move on. But I don't think it moves the needle, I agree. Unless it's somebody where
I don't
you
think
go,
it moves the needle.
Where you go, oh, wow, them? But I don't think any of these.
And, like, if they pick someone super cray-cray.
Yeah.
You know, if they pick a nut job, then we're like, oh, okay, I guess that's, like, secretly how you feel. Mm-hmm. And if I'm one heart attack away from nut job person, that might make me change my viewpoint. But hopefully it's not a cuckoo bananas
where
person.
It probably matters is if you pick somebody who's got rich friends or has a platform among a certain group of donors, then that will help you financially. I think that is potentially part of it.
So smart. You're absolutely right. It's all about the money. Yes, you're right. You're right.
Comedian Nikki Glaser hosted SNL over the weekend. Her monologue is receiving some backlash for some crude jokes, including references to pedophilia and human trafficking. Jordana, I judge from your response, you haven't seen it yet, but
I was with my girls in Georgia,
so I
did not watch it.
I watched it. I mean, it is very funny, and I'm watching it realizing that we accept a lot from comedians. I mean, comedians can go to very dark places, and we think it's funny. What do you think about it in this case, obviously having not seen it? Are those topics off limits for stand-up comedians on SNL?
I don't think anything's off limits. I think comedy, honestly, I don't think anything's off limits for comedians. Just get a pass for a lot of stuff.
It's true. It's true.
You don't have to listen. Like, that's the thing. They're comedians. They're not lawmakers. You're not forced to listen to them. And maybe people are so turned off that they will never watch Nikki Glaser again. They think she's gross. They'll never pay for a ticket to her show. And that's okay. Because she's not interested in having you as an audience member. But I am not about censoring comedy. I think we make sense of life, not only through this show, but through comedy. Pedophilia, no, it's not something to joke about. But, you know, we make jokes about Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's
not off limits.
Which
she made a joke about that, too, during the monologue.
That's not off limits. And we know he was a known sex trafficker and disgusting human. So now I feel like I have to go watch it.
Yeah,
I have it recorded on my DVR.
Yeah.
So now that I'm home, I will make sure that I watch it. Because generally, I really like Nikki Glaser.
Yeah.
I think she's been hilarious. And she at the roast of Kevin Hart, oh, my God, she was the host. She had me in stitches. Yeah. She was so funny.
Okay, but I think the rules, at least before now, the rules for those roasts that you're referring to, I mean, those are like R-rated roasts that are full of cuss words and very filthy jokes. Yeah. And you know what you're getting if you're going to watch one of those. This is SNL on network TV.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the rules are different, but I think Nikki Glaser was pushing it on Saturday. So
that's interesting because it's network television. It's FCC regulated.
Yes, correct.
I know it's out of the time slot and the regulations sort of get a little lax late at night. I don't know. I'm uneducated about this. Now that you've made me aware, I'm going to watch it tonight and we'll talk about it again
Sounds
tomorrow.
Good.
Maybe we'll ask Adam. We'll tell him to watch it also, and we can talk about it. But apparently we can't play any of the jokes on the air. Is that right?
No,
Adam?
No. Zero of her jokes we will play on the air.
President Trump wants to make America skinny again. Hear how next. America's fat. We know that. We have an obesity problem in this country. And President Trump wants to help fix it. Not that he's one to talk, you know, eating all the fast food. I mean, it's not like he's skinny or anything. But Last week, President Trump announced a deal with pharmaceutical companies to slash the cost of weight loss drugs. Okay? And here's why. Because the U.S. spends millions on treatments for diseases, but we rarely spend money on things to prevent diseases. And that's a huge problem. Obesity causes diabetes. It causes fatty liver disease. It causes high cholesterol. It causes high blood pressure, coronary artery disease that leads to a heart attack. It can lead to a stroke or congestive heart failure, sleep apnea. And I have a friend who's a radiologist, and she says to me, oh, Jordana, if we would all just lose weight, we would no longer have to do these hip replacements. And because she sees all these x-rays of these joints and stuff, these hip replacements and knee replacements, she said, it's all because we're too heavy. That's what she says. I mean, of course, you get like a runner or something, you know, not all, nothing is ever all, but most of the issues that she sees are because we're fat. And it is hard on our joints. And then we have secondary problems because we're overweight. So, I mean, we all know President Trump. He is a quick fix guy. He likes beautiful people a lot of people that are thin. You know, he's married multiple models, at least three. Even his first wife was a model. So we get that he would be behind this kind of legislation to certainly make us look better. But it really is more of a prevention method. And I am absolutely here for it. I know that people have a lot of questions about, you know, what's called the fat shot, you know, the Ozempi, the Wegovy, all of those. But in the end, obesity is the cause of so many long-term health problems that if we can deal with the problem of obesity, we should absolutely be looking at it as prevention. So making affordability for drugs like their GLP-1 drugs, like I said, Ozempic, Wegovy, Zepbound is another one, making them more affordable and more widely available to people can be a way of reducing further disease. Now, are they for everybody? Absolutely not. That's why you don't see them, you know, at the counter, you know, at the checkout counter to just pick up at CVS. That's why you need a prescription for it. That's why you need to go to your doctor so you are monitored when you are on some kind of these drugs. But now looking at it as a method of prevention kind of shifts the way we view it. And prevention is always cheaper than treating the effect, the after effect. Yes, we should eat healthy. Yes, we should exercise. That's great for our mental health. It's great for our physical health. But now President Trump offering to give a subsidy for weight loss drugs, I am not against that at all. It could lead to a measurable improvement in the nation's health, along with reducing our obesity rates. By the way, it would also solidify, I mean, the drug companies are cheering for this. It would also solidify the GLP-1 drug market as one of the largest pharmaceuticals sectors in history. When I was a young reporter, I was a medical reporter. And in the medical reporter world, we used to say, whoever makes the obesity shot, we thought it was a pill. We didn't know it was going to be a shot. You know, the pill to cure obesity, they were going to win. They would get all the money. And that's what's happening today.
Let's go to John in Farmington, who called in to share his own journey with these weight loss drugs. Hi, John.
Oh, hey, John.
Hi. How you doing?
So well. How are you, sir?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay.
So I've been dealing with lower back issues and hip issues for a long time, and I'm not the lightest guy in the world. I've got a problem with my weight. Now, I get my insurance through the VA, and they have me on pills to try to lose weight, and they just approved Wegovy through the VA. Wegovy, and I don't know how much weight I'm losing yet because I still got to check in with my doctor in December. I've been on it for like my biggest issue with losing my weight is my hips are just like, it's so painful when I sit still. Right now I'm driving in my van and it's like so painful right now. And that's the biggest thing, but I think some of it has to do with I've been a plumber for 20 plus years and the bending and the kneeling and all that kind of,
yes,
I think it's caught up with me also. But it's gets to be so much pain mentally. It just is starting to mess me up big time. It's, I just can't deal with the pain. It gets to the point where it's just almost feel like crying. It's so bad sometimes.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. So, John, are you currently on these GLP-1 drugs?
Yeah, so I'm on Wegovy. They got me on Wegovy, and then they're slowly increasing the dosage. So I do a poke in my stomach once a week.
Yep. And how long have you been on?
About a month.
And have you noticed any change or improvement?
I have noticed some notches in my belt. I can tighten my belt more. So I think when I go back to the doctor here in December, I think there's going to be there'll be a difference. But anybody that's on this medication, what you got to realize is just being on the medication isn't like, you got to make sure you're exercising and being active.
Absolutely.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's not just the Wegovy will work, but it's just, you can't just do it by itself. You got to eat right and, do the exercises and stuff too. So I just want
John,
to
I'm out of time, but I want you to call back in. We're going to follow your journey with you, John. Keep calling in and let us know how you're feeling. If you got some relief from those joints, because I want you to feel better.
I appreciate that.
You got it, John. I'm with you, buddy. Thank you so much for calling in, and I hope you're feeling okay. We'll talk to you soon. We got to take a quick break. CBS reporter Stacey Lynn on the shutdown or not shutdown next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Is it a shutdown? When does it start back up? It's not really a shutdown. So what in the world is going on with, are the air traffic controllers coming back? Do we still need to vote on it? I got a lot of questions. CBS reporter Stacey Lynn has the answers. She's joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Okay, Stacey, is it true that there is an agreement that funds the government through January?
That is correct. There was an agreement to the agreement, which means they did a procedural vote last night, and the House passed resolution came out 60-40. So the final vote would advance it. So now there's got to be a bunch of procedural votes in the Senate to get it to the next phase, where it goes back to the House, and then the House votes on it, and then it goes to the president's desk. So while it looks like, you know, the end is near for this government shutdown, the timing of the passage still kind of remains unclear, because, you know, there could be some blips in the road, and, you know, this whole Senate process with all these procedural votes could get a little bit sticky and lengthy, as any one senator can really slow down the process. And then when it goes back to the House, it is expected to pass the House, because Republicans do have the votes to pass it, even without House leadership, Democratic leadership on board with it. But that's when it will go to the president's desk. So as what we're looking at right now, they're hoping to get this done in the next few days by the end of the week, but still up in the air.
Okay, maybe by the end of the week, who knows, maybe 2 weeks, we know how the government works or doesn't work. So, sure. Stacey, explain, who were the winners and the losers? Because it's my understanding that the health care credits from the ACA, Obamacare, did not get extended. So tell us who won, who lost, who caved, what's the sitch?
Okay, so the deal extends funding through January, so that's a good thing. That gets the government back opened and funded. The deal also would fund SNAP through next September. It also provides a guaranteed back pay for furloughed federal workers, and it reverses shutdown layoffs, meaning those government workers who were riffed, who were fired at the start of this whole funding debacle, they could get rehired back. What's missing, and what you said, Jordana, is correct, the health care provision, this was the biggie that all the Dems, that was their sticking point all along. So this is not in this bill. They did not agree to an extension of those expiring tax credits. But these eight Dems that kind of crossed the line, they threw in the towel on the issue and basically took what amounts to a pinky promise from Senate Republicans who said that they would bring that to a vote in December. Now, it's nothing on paper that says this is a guarantee. It says, okay, we're going to get the government back open, and then we will look at this. So this was the big sticking point all along, because the health insurance tax credits under this Affordable Care Act are set to expire at the end of the year. And, you know, health insurance premiums set to kind of soar for millions of Americans who rely on this for their coverage. So as far as winners and losers, I mean, I think the main, Republicans are the ones who got their side. I think these eight Dems that crossed the line kind of threw in that towel because they realized, you know, we can vote and we can vote again and we can keep the government shut down for another week, another 2 weeks, another 3 weeks, but they're not budging. They're not moving their feet out of the mud and nothing's going to change. So they were not going to put this provision for health care in this bill at all. And they said that from the beginning, and they maintain their, you know, their stance on it.
How many people then are affected by that health care provision? Who's the real loser here?
I mean, millions of Americans right now who rely on that that ACA coverage are set to see their premiums, you know, double, triple, they are saying, unless this comes through. So the problem is the Republicans were saying that this doesn't run out until the end of the year, so there's still a little time. So if we get the government back open and vote in December, we're still good to go and it should be okay. The problem is they've already opened enrollment for the Affordable Care Act for this health care insurance. That opened up November 1st. So that's when these companies have to set their premiums and set their prices. And so if they don't think they're going to get these, you know, extensions, these tax credits, then they have to jack their prices up to cover the costs. And so a lot of Americans are kind of stuck in the middle there and, you know, are going to have to pay the price. And then a lot of people, unfortunately, can't pay that price, that exorbitant amount for insurance, and so we'll end up just going without, which obviously is a really scary thing for people.
Let's talk about optics. Yeah. Who's going to get blamed for this? Who's going to be the hero? Me personally, I'm just a regular citizen. I wanted the government open, but I want people to have health care, you know, so.
Whose fault is this? Yeah, because most Democratic lawmakers did not want this. They were not on board with this. It was these, you know, breakaway senators that finally realized, you know what, the strategy's not working. There was no evidence that prolonging this whole thing would force the Republicans to the table on the health provision issue. So they just decided, you know what, we're going to give them a little bone and get the government back working, because they realized that, you know, it is affecting people all across the country. They wanted to get the government back open. They wanted these government workers, you know, back to work and funds, you know, flowing once again to all these programs that people depend on across the country. So I think when you look at the term winners and losers, it's kind of, it really is what side you are on and who, you know, which way you're going to lean in the breakdown of all the things. Yes, there's some good things for Democrats in this deal. The furloughed workers are getting their back pay. You know, those who were riffed or can get back on the job. Some programs that were funded during this impasse through the states will get paid back. So those are all positives, yet the one main thing that they were really, really holding out on is kind of still in the balance.
But it doesn't mean that people will not get their health care extended. It just means, and correct me if I'm wrong, Stacey, we're speaking with Stacey Lynn, reporter from CBS. It just means they sort of kicked the can down the road till what, January?
They kicked the can down the road till, well, they say December. They said that they will promise to vote on this and bring up this issue, do a Senate vote on the floor in December. it doesn't say that this has to be done. It's just kind of, like I said, almost like a pinky promise that says, yeah, let's get the government open. We'll give you these things. And then in December, yeah, we'll bring it to the Senate floor. We can vote on it then. And then who knows then if it will get passed. So, yeah, it's still kind of up in the air. And like Congress does a lot, they do like to kick the can down the road an awful lot.
You mentioned that people are getting their back pay. I know it's not a guarantee when workers get furloughed, but do they have to vote on that, or does that automatically kick in whenever they vote to reopen the government?
Okay. Automatically kicks in. Now, I mean, it should have before in the first place, because President Trump in 2019 was the one that signed that into law. But then they tried to kind of do a little backtracking thing a couple weeks ago saying, well, maybe they won't be paid. Now, for sure, everyone will be paid, the furloughed workers. Now, he did have some messages for air traffic controllers who have, you know, a lot of them have walked off the job because, you know, they're not getting paid. And a lot of them are trying to get, you know, make whatever money they can to get make ends meet. So a lot of them were calling out sick during the shutdown. But the president posted about an hour or so ago on Truth Social demanding them to come back to work now. And he said those who don't could have their paychecks substantially docked. And he said those who left will be replaced by true patriots and won't get severance. But then he said, and this isn't big, he said that he was going to reward those who have stuck it out, who have showed up every day despite not getting paid. He said that he's going to reward them with a $10,000 bonus.
Can he do any of those things?
I mean, that's the big question with this president, this administration that we ask every day. And, you know, I mean, he likes to, you know, he tests the waters all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I want them to get free money, but I don't want the people who didn't show up to lose their jobs. I mean, this is crazy. Okay. Thank you for sharing that, because I haven't seen that yet.
Yep. That was about an hour ago. Yep. That's some new stuff for you.
Oh, my God. Stacey Lynn, thank you.
Jordana?
I mean, it's every day, like every hour, it's something new.
I know. Crazy. You think it couldn't get any worse or more crazy or confusing. And then the next thing you're like, well, wait a minute. I thought that was the most crazy thing. Yeah.
Oh, Stacey, I hope you'll come back on soon. We're out of time. Thank you so much for the time today.
Take care. Have a great day.
You got it. CBS reporter Stacey Lynn. Wow. Okay. The question was really for you guys. Okay, what does this leave as a taste in your mouth? I asked her who's going to get blamed for that. What do you think? Who's going to get blamed for this? 651-461-9226.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I don't really want to have to lay blame, but I know that's how the political climate in this country is. So who was the cause of the shutdown? Why did it happen? Who didn't give in? Who did give in? I know that's going to be the legacy of the shutdown. I just want people to get back to work, to have health care. That's what I want to happen. So I asked you, who, when you look at this shutdown, how does it make you feel? Who are you blaming or championing because they decided that they were going to compromise and cause a vote to end the shutdown? Jordana, this only benefits those on Medicare, okay? Jordana, this lays the healthcare issue at Republican feet. If government opens up the House, has to seat a new representative, and then the Epstein files become public. That is true. There is a new Democratic legislator that will get sworn in, and she will vote to release the Epstein files. So you're absolutely right. Good for you for knowing that. Good job. Let's see. Jor, if it were available to everyone at this cost, meaning healthcare, we wouldn't have so many. Oh, they're talking about Wegovy or Ozempic. So many sick people by the time they reach Medicare. That was a text that came in late about the Ozempic. Jordana, two things about the ACA funding. They say, this texter says, number one, double or triple premium increases is hyperbole. The increases are nowhere near that level. These are COVID additional credits that are expiring. The texter says we need to pass separate bills, so these should become permanent. By the way, this is coming from someone who purchases insurance through the ACA. Thank you for that education. I so appreciate that. David says we've got a caller, Bob in Minnetonka. Bob, jump in here, talking about the shutdown.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking
good
my
morning.
Call.
You got it.
We've been listening to this for a month, mm-hmm. and I've decided that everybody is to blame in Washington for this. You can't point the fingers at the Republicans. You can't point the fingers at the Democrats. I have now started encouraging people to remember what happened this year and come the next election, vote for anybody other than an incumbent.
I like it.
So you blame like them, it. Get them out of office. Yep.
Get them out of office. You know what? Yep. Bob, I think you're right. You're coming in and out there, Bob, but I think you're absolutely right. If you're frustrated, because this is what they're offering up. Would you make, remember Google reviews? Would you make this purchase again? No, probably not. I don't want more shutdowns. I don't want more infighting. I don't want more hyperbole or blame game. We want some truth. We need some facts. And we need people to get stuff done. So no, would you recommend this purchase again? I would not, my friends, she said about the current American government. Someone says, in 2013, Trump said shutdowns are on the president. That was before he was president. Thank you for reminding us that. Jor, in my opinion, all the travel disruptions are on the air traffic controllers calling in sick. Everybody knew they were going to be reimbursed in whole, and they should have just done their jobs. They're getting paid in full, and that was never a question in my mind, according to wow. Okay, that's interesting that you say that. Yet, that was their only leverage. They were probably using the leverage that they had at the time. You know, they couldn't strike. That was the leverage they were using to force the government. If business travel is interrupted and enough travel is interrupted, the pressure will be on. And you know what? It worked. It absolutely worked. Yes, people suffered. Travelers suffered. But it worked. All right, it's 10:57. That is, don't I have to do? There you go. It's a Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to upgrade your gutters to LeafGuard brand gutters. Dr. Roto will be joining us for an analysis of more sports gambling debacles. That's all next after the news.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.